from last week. It's February 24th, 1937. I'll repeat the last paragraph. Today at benediction, I saw Jesus, and he spoke these words to me. Be obedient to your director in everything. His word is my will. Preserving in the depths of your soul that it is I who am speaking through his lips. And I decide that you reveal the state of your soul to him with the same simplicity and candor as you have with me. I say it again, my daughter, know that his word is my will for you. Today, I saw the Lord in great beauty, and he said to me, my loving host, pray for priests, especially during this time of harvest. My heart is pleased with you, and for your sake, I'm blessing the earth. I understood that these 2 years of interior suffering, which I have undergone in submission to God's will, in order to know it better, have advanced me further in perfection than the previous 10 years. For 2 years now, I've been on the cross between heaven and earth. That is to say, I'm bound by the vow of obedience and must obey the superior as God himself. And on the other hand, God makes his will known to me directly. And so my interior torture is so great that no one will either understand or imagine these spiritual sufferings, especially in times that you are misunderstood by the superior, you know, and bound to vow of obedience, you have to obey. So one hand, Jesus told her something, and then the superior said no. It's a kind of conflict, huh? It seems to me that it would be easier to give up my life than to go again and again through an hour of such pain. So many times when problems come, so better go finish our life. You don't have to confront the problem. I'm not even going to write much about this matter, because one cannot describe what it is like to know God's will directly and at the same time to be perfectly obedient to the divine will as expressly indirectly through the superiors. Thanks be to God that he has given me a director, otherwise I would not have advanced one single step. Fortunately, she has also listened to the spiritual director, no? So at least a kind of support. Otherwise, she doesn't know what to go ahead. I recently received a lovely letter from my dear 17-year-old sister. She is begging and entreating me to help her enter the convent. She's ready for any sacrifices for God. I can tell from my letter that the Lord himself is guiding her, and I rejoice in God's great mercy. Today the majesty of God enveloped and transpierced my soul to its very depths. The greatness of God is pervading my being and flooding me so that I am completely drowning in his greatness. I'm dissolving and disappearing entirely in him as in my life source, as in perfect life. My Jesus, I understand well that my perfection consists not in the fact that you command me to carry out these great works of yours. Oh no, the soul's greatness does not consist in this, but in great love for you, for Jesus. Oh Jesus, in the depths of my soul, I understand that the greatest achievements cannot compare with one act of pure love for you. I decide to be faithful to you and to do your bidding. I'm making use of my strength and my reason to carry out all you are asking of me, O Lord. But I have not the least shadow of attachment to all this. I do it all because such is your will, and my love is strong, not in your works, but in you yourself, O my Creator and Lord. February 25th, 1937. I pray earnestly for a happy death on behalf of a certain soul who was suffering much. For 2 weeks, she had remained between life and death. I was touched with pity for her and said to the Lord, "Sweet Jesus, if the works I'm undertaking for your glory are pleasing to you, then please take her to yourself and let her rest in your mercy." I was strangely reassured, and after a short while, they came to tell me that the person who had been suffering so much had just died. I saw a certain priest, properly Father Sopoko, in need, and prayed for him until Jesus looked upon him with kindness and granted him his strength. Today, I came to know that a member of my family is offending God and is in great peril of death. This knowledge seized my soul with such great pain that I thought I would not survive the offense against God. I begged God's pardon, but I saw his great anger. I was praying for a certain priest, probably Father Sopoko, asking God to help him in certain matters, when I suddenly saw Jesus crucified. His eyes were closed, and he was immersed in torture. I worshipped his 5 wounds, each one separately, and asked his blessing for him. Jesus gave me to know interior how dear that soul was to him, and I felt that grace was flowing from Jesus' wounds upon that soul who, like Jesus, is also stretched upon the cross. This Father Sopoko. My Lord and my God, you know that it is you alone whom my soul has come to love. My soul is entirely drowned in you, O Lord. Even if I did not accomplish any of the things that you have made known to me, O Lord, I would be completely at peace because I would have done what I could. I know well, O Lord, that you have no need of our works. You demand love. Love, love, and once again, love of God. There is nothing greater in heaven or on earth. This is the same words of John of Pope Paul VI in Manila. He came, I think 1970, he came to Manila at a big gathering. More than 1 million people, were you there? And the first 3 words Pope Paul VI says, love, love. Love. That's exactly the same words. The greatest greatness is to love God. True greatness is loving God. Real wisdom is to love God. All that is great and beautiful is in God. There's no beauty or greatness outside of Him. O you sages of the world and you great minds, recognize that true greatness is in loving God. Oh, how astonished I am that some people deceive themselves saying there is no eternity. February 26th, 1937. Today, I saw how the Holy Mysteries were being celebrated without liturgical vestments and in private homes because of a passing storm. And I saw the sun come out from the Blessed Sacrament. And all other nights went out, or rather, they were dimmed. And all the people were looking toward this light. But at the present time, I should understand the meaning of this vision. This vision. All darkness. Only from the blessed sacrament, the night from there, you couldn't understand why, what does it mean. I'm going forward through life amidst rainbows and storms, but with my head held high with pride, for I am a royal child. It's proud, because proud of herself, because she is 100% just adhere to God. I feel that the blood of Jesus is circulating in my vein, and I put my trust in the great mercy of the Lord. So you have the same feeling, no? That since we received the blessed sacrament, received blood and body and blood, feel the blood of Jesus is in you, circulating. I asked the Lord to have a certain person come to visit me today so that I could see her one more time. And that would be a sign for me that she was being called to the convent, which Jesus is having me established. And, oh wonder, the person in question came and I tried to form her a bit spiritually. I began to show her the way of self-denial and sacrifice, which she readily accepted. However, I have placed this whole matter in the hands of the Lord, that he may direct everything according to his good pleasure. So that even though we can have a person to follow their vocations, but still, let Jesus work. You are not the one, you are not the Savior. Many times we act as we know everything, we direct, we care, and keep it to ourselves. No, let Jesus work. Today, when I heard the hymn, "Good Night, Holy Head of My Jesus," on the radio, my spirit was suddenly drowned in God, and divine love flooded my soul. I trust for a moment with the Heavenly Father. You see, whatever happened, she can read our words to the Lord, even from the radio. Although it is not easy to live in a constant agony, to be nailed to the cross on various pains, still I'm inflamed with love by loving. And like the seraph, I love God, though I am but weakness. Oh, great is the soul that amid suffering, sent faithfully by God and does his will, and remains uncomforted amid great rainbows and storms. For God's pure love sweetens her fate. It's no great thing to love God in prosperity and thank him when all goes well, but rather to adore him amid great adversities and love him for his own sake and place one's hope in him. When a soul is in shadows of Gethsemane, all alone in the bitterness of pain, it ascends toward the heights of Jesus. And though ever drinking bitterness, it's not sad. So you will get pain, but not sadness. Rainbow and storm. No, it won't all the time, 24 hours rainbow and 24 hours storm. No matter what, although it's in pain, even drinking bitterness, it's not sad. That's important. You feel sad because you have pain. That's what she said. Even pain, you have joy. Because you share the same Jesus in his sorrowful moments, or his joyful moments, you meet the same Lord. You are not far away, you are in him, right? How dare you be sad because of some sorrowful things happen to your life, in your life. When it so does the will of the Most High God, even amid constant pain and torments, having pressed its lips to the chalice proffered It becomes mighty and nothing will daunt it. Though tortured, it be peace. Your will be done. Patiently awaiting the moment of his transfiguration. For though in deepest darkness, it hears the voice of Jesus, "You are mine." And this it will know fully when the veil falls. So today we can't see much clear. You don't see, you know, you have to see in the eyes of our faith only. February 28, 1937. Today I was undergoing passion of Jesus for a long time, and thus I saw that many souls were in need of prayer. I feel that I'm being completely transformed into prayer in order to beg God's mercy for every soul. Oh my Jesus, I'm receiving you into my heart as a pledge of mercy for souls. This evening when I heard the hymn, "Good Night, Holy Head of my Jesus," on radio, my spirit was suddenly swept away to God's mysterious bosom, and I knew in what the greatness of a soul consists, in what matters to God. Love, love, and once again, love. And I understood how all that exists is saturated with God, and such a love of God inundated my soul that I am at a loss to describe it. Happy the soul that knows how to love unreservedly, for in this life it's reckless, no matter how, for better, for good, for health and the sickness, always have this kind of peace. Jesus wants us to be with him. He is peace. Today, I took part in one-day retreat. When I was at the last conference, the priest was speaking of how much the world needs of God's mercy, and that this seems to be a very special time when people have great need of prayer and God's mercy. Then I heard a voice in my soul. "These words are for you. Do all you possibly can for this work of my mercy." I decide that mercy be worshipped and giving mankind the last hope of salvation. That is, recourse to my mercy. My heart rejoiced in this feast. After these words, I understood that nothing can dispense me from the obligation which the Lord demands from me. You know, for divine mercy is until the John Paul II put it published. Also, more than 70 years. Many people consider as what you call the words for heresy. They still consider heresy. Even Jesus wants us to have the picture. When I was in the seminary, already printed sometimes, you know, the experience of Jesus, and then the seminary say, "No, this is heretic pictures. We have to tear it away." After so many years, you can imagine, by the time of Sister Faustina, her time, imagine, even after death, even though the church already accepted, start to investigate, start to recognize, still only the Pope John Paul II, and he, the one having, he canonized or beatified Sister Faustina, and that's the date that he designed that the second Sunday of Easter be the Sunday of Divine Mercy. Only until then, you know, 1937 until 2000, that means, no, a little bit earlier than that, you can imagine, it's more than 80 years. So I can imagine, no, today, so many people are against Medjugorje. Same thing. So for me, it will affect me. I believe in Medjugorje. Our Lady is having What the Heavenly Father or my Heavenly Mother is doing, whatever Jesus is doing on earth, people doesn't believe. They want to see face to face first. In a terrible desert of life, O my sweet Jesus, protect souls from disaster, for you are the fountain of mercy. Let the resplendence of your rays, O sweet commander of your of our souls, let mercy change the world. And you, who have received this grace, serve Jesus. Deep is the great highway I must travel, but I fear nothing, for the pure font of mercy is flowing for my sake, and with it, strength for the humble soul. I'm exhausted and worn out, but my conscience bears me witness that I do all for the greater glory of the Lord who is my repose and my heritage. That's end of the notebook 2 of the diary. Now go to the notebook 3. That's time in the beginning, time of poems. But even poems, it's beautiful meanings, not inside. Thank you, Lord, my master, that you have transformed me entirely into yourself and accompany me through life's toils and labors. I fear nothing when I have you in my heart. The Lord's supper is laid. Jesus sits down at table with his apostles. His being all transformed into love. For such was the Holy Trinity's counsel. With great desire, I desire to eat with you before I suffer death. About to leave you, love holds me in your midst. He sheds his blood, gives his life, for he loves immensely. Love hides beneath the appearance of bread. Departing, he remains with us, the Eucharist. Such self-abasement was not needed, yet burning love hit him under these speeches. Over the bread and wine, he says this word, "This is my body, this is my blood, this is my body." Although mysterious, these are words of love. Then he passes the cup among his disciples. Jesus grew deeply troubled to thin and said, "One of you will betray his master." They fell silent, with silence as of the tomb. And John inclined his head on his breast. The supper is ended. Let us go to Gethsemane. Love is satisfied, and there the traitor is waiting. Another phrase. O divine will, you are my nourishment, you are my delight. Hasten, O Lord, the feast of mercy that souls may recognize the fountain of your goodness. It's March 1937 at Krakow. It's on the Blessed Sacrament. There's a poem on the Blessed Sacrament. O will of the omnipotent God, you are my delight, you are my joy. Whatever the hand of my Lord holds out to me, I've accepted gladness, submission, and love. Your holy will is a repose. In it is contained all my sanctity and all my eternal salvation, for doing God's will is the greatest glory. The will of God, those are his various wishes, which my soul carries out without reserve. Because such are his divine desires. In those moments when God share his confidences with me. Do with me as you will, Lord. I place no obstacle. I make no reservations. For you are my hope tonight and love of my soul. And to you, in turn, I pour out the confidences of my heart. Another paragraph in Krakow, March 1st, 1937. Let the glory and praise to the divine mercy rise from every creature throughout all ages and times. Another phrase. O my Lord and God, you command me to write about the graces you grant me. O my Jesus, were it not for a clear moment command from a confessor that I am to write down what goes on in my soul, I would not of my own choice write single word. And so if I do write about myself, it is at the formal command of holy obedience. She doesn't want to think, write things to glorify herself. Whatever is commanded by the confessor, I mean the direct will through the confessor, whatever she writes is for the glory of God, nothing else. Praise and glory be to God, to you, O Holy Trinity, eternal God. May the mercy springing from your very bowels protect us from your just anger. Let the praise of your incomprehensible mercy resound everywhere. All your works here bear the seal of your unfathomable mercy, O Lord. March 1st, 1937. The Lord gave me to know how displeased he is with a talkative soul. I find no rest in such a soul, this word of Jesus. The constant din tires me. In the midst of it, the soul cannot discern my voice. Talkative displeases Jesus. So not only for that time, not only today, even today, don't be talkative. Because you don't have that silence. If you have silence of heart, you can hear the word, the voice of God, because the Holy Spirit is in you, but inside you. Silence, not that silence, but kind of ready to listen, you know, when you go to sit at the seaside. Silence that you can hear the waves, the tides, in and out. That silence. That doesn't mean that you just close your eyes. But it's open heart to the voice of the Lord. Especially when you come to the chapel, like this, as you were sitting down at the beach. Listen. It's all the time that the way tide comes. It goes out. It comes in. The Holy Spirit is like this, no? That way, he doesn't know when it's coming, when it's going. But your heart is not silent. You can't hear anything. You waste your time. So, that's the word of Jesus. The word gave me to know how displeased he is with talkative soul. This is the word of Jesus. I find no rest in such a soul. Jesus wants to stay with us. But you are talking to me, just not concentrate. He can stay. For example, you go to your friend sitting down in the parlor. And she's moving around. Not sitting down with you. What will you feel? You're not there. The constant thing ties me. And in the midst of it, the soul cannot discern my voice. Because Jesus wants to talk to us all the time. Stay with us. Jesus, this is the will of God. By the time we receive Holy Spirit, the Blessed Sacrament, he is with us. All the speech is gone when they digested. But still, the life of Jesus is there. God is omnipotent. He is there. He is with you. It stays with you. If you forget about him, he can't do much. He's unhappy. He's unhappy. So try this week. Be more centered with the Lord. Try to. Because not all the time successful, but at least you tell Jesus you want to ask His grace, His help. Jesus, I want to be with you. This is a missionary spirit. Spread the gospel, it doesn't mean you join the convent. Spread the gospel means you be the Christ there. But if you're not living Christ, how can you be Christ? If you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, how can you be another Christ? Can't. This is my name. But not by fact. Jesus is unhappy. So let us make Jesus happier.